The following program's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Live with Pastor Al host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220 The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and maybe even join in the conversation there with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And glad to be with you today. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for another opportunity to be on the air today. Father, we think about the things that are happening in the world around us. Lord, thank you for your word that you've given to us. Thank you that we can rely upon it and that we can look to it for guidance and that we can allow your spirit to guide you as you speak to us through your word. Father, we do pray that you bless the program today. Help us to be a blessing and an encouragement and be able to point somebody to Christ today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you're probably getting tired of hearing about politics and all of that, I thought I would kind of take a break, you know, from we had the Republican convention, and then on the heels of that, the Democrat convention, all the different things going on there. Certainly much to talk about. We may talk about that a little bit coming up Sunday night on our Sunday night program at 11 o'clock, Late Night Live with Pastor Al right here on AM 1220 The Word. But I wanted to focus a little bit more on some things that are happening in the Middle East right now. And of course, that's always one of my favorite topics, is looking about what's happening there and things that might be fulfilling Bible prophecy. And there's really kind of a disturbing development that's taking place in the Middle East, and that's that America seems to be stepping back away from its staunchest ally in the Middle East, Israel. And tensions in the Middle East continue to ratchet up. We've been hearing stories for some time now of potential for some kind of armed confrontation, probably between Israel and Iran. And most analysts are saying it's not a matter of if, but when. And we've been talking about often on our Sunday evening program. We've talked about it a few times here in our Friday afternoon program. But if you look at what's happening there, the Iranians are very close to having sufficient nuclear material to be able to construct one or more nuclear warheads, nuclear bombs. And for Israel, that is an unacceptable situation. And the intelligence right now suggests, and the Israelis feel that it's credible, that by October 1st, the Iranians will have enough to do that. And so what are they going to do about that? Now, see, we're a big country. United States is a big country. And it would take a lot to destroy us, but you have to understand that Israel is a relatively small country. Some portions of the country are actually less than 10 miles across, and it's not much bigger than New Jersey, probably. So it's not a big country, not a big geographical area. And then complicating things in Israel, you have what's called the Palestinian territories. Actually, it's a part of Israel, but the Gaza Strip, as well as the West Bank, and, of course, the Golan Heights. And these areas are semi-autonomous, with the Palestinian Authority controlling in the West Bank and I think the Golan Heights as well. But then we have Hamas that's controlling things in the Gaza Strip. And both the Palestinian Authority and Hamas are known terrorist groups. And should there be some kind of armed confrontation between Israel and Iran, you can be sure that there's going to be problems arising out of these Palestinian territories. And then certainly we have the specter of Syria and Lebanon on the northern borders of Israel. And of course, Lebanon is controlled by Syria effectively, and Hezbollah, which is also controlling in Lebanon, is another known terrorist group, and Hezbollah, like Hamas and like the Palestinian Authority and like Iran, are dedicated to the absolute destruction of Israel. Now, we know, according to the Word of God, that God gave that area of land to Abraham and his descendants, specifically his descendants through Isaac. And then God confirmed that covenant with Isaac and said that that land would go to Isaac's descendants through his son, Jacob. And of course, the Arabs are very closely related to the Jewish people, as they also descend from Abraham. And they've contested that they should own the land. Not going to get into that right at the moment. But the thing is, in Syria, Syria is in the midst of a civil war, and there's a lot of disturbing developments there. They have, and according to some reports, they have actually possibly distributed some of their chemical and or biological weapons to some of their troops elsewhere around the country, to take them out of storage. That was about a month or so ago, maybe, I think, when I first read about that. And we have the opposing party in Syria, which has captured significant portions of the country. Now, the Syrian government, which of course is basically controlled by the Iranians as well, is who are Shiite Muslims, and that's important because the rebel forces in Syria are aligned with the Sunni Islamic forces, and the Sunni and the Shiites don't like each other, and they're vying for control of Syria. Iraq just recently issued an alert for all of their citizens. They've got several thousand citizens that are in Syria to evacuate Syria and go into back to Iraq. And then in Turkey, the Turks have mobilized forces, and a report is that they've actually taken command of a couple of rebel troops that were stationed or that were up in the northern part of Syria, up near the Turkish border, and that there's actually some Turkish commanders overseeing Syrian rebel forces. And then last week, the Russians, which had been increasing their presence in Syria, suddenly pulled out. They pulled their troops, their special forces and military advisors out of Syria. They pulled some of their warships out of the Syrian waters. And rumor has it that President Obama has made some sort of secret agreement with them that he's going to get Israel to back off from attacking Iran. Part of that was, I guess, part of the deal was that the Russians pull out of Syria, but we don't really know what's happening exactly right there. But the Iranians, of course, have dedicated themselves to the destruction of the Jewish state of Israel. And so here we have, in the mix of all of this, we have Israel, with its back kind of up against the wall, wondering what's going to happen, and fearing that they could easily be overrun if there was a concerted effort in Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Hezbollah, and then uprisings in some of the Palestinian territories. And then, of course, add in the troubling developments in Egypt, Jordan, and other places around Israel, and they could fear that they might be in danger of being destroyed. And of course, Israel, which is a nuclear power, probably has at least 200 warheads of various sizes, shapes, and colors. And they have said that they will not go down quietly. If they feel that they're about to be destroyed, they will dip into their nuclear arsenal. And so let's say that Israel attacks in Iran to try to head off their attaining a nuclear bomb. What we could see easily happening is the Iranians, through their proxies in Lebanon, Syria, Hezbollah, and other groups and similar groups that would ally, even though some of them might be Sunni and some might be Shia, the old enemy of my enemy is my friend. They get a concerted attack against Israel. We've seen where Egypt and Syria in the past have been united in attacking Israel, and it's not strange threat or speculation that that could happen again. And if that does, Israel might respond. And let me give you a passage in Scripture here that I think might have something to do with what's going on. And let me read in Isaiah chapter 17. Isaiah chapter 17, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "The burden of Damascus." Now, this stands for the nation of Syria. "Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aurora forsaken, they shall be for flocks, which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim," fortress having to do with military might, "and Ephraim having to do with Israel, and the kingdom of from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. And in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean." Now, I'll get to a phone call here in just a moment, but I wanted to share something with this right here. When we look at that passage, a lot of people suggest that that took place back when the Assyrians attacked Syria, attacked the northern kingdom of Israel, and that's where it was fulfilled. Problem with that is Damascus is probably one of the oldest continually occupied cities in the world. And this talks about the city becoming a ruinous heap. And as you read further in the chapter, actually, for time's sake, I'm going to drop all the way down to the last two verses. It says, "The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them. They shall flee far off and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, at evening tide, trouble, and before morning, he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us and the lot of them that rob us." And as you read that chapter, there's a suggestion, especially that thing, "In the evening trouble, in the morning he's not." It suggests a sudden destruction. Now, what would possibly be able to suddenly destroy Damascus and also potentially take out the entire nation of Syria? And let's say that some conflict between Israel and Iran escalates, and Syria comes against, they begin attacking in the northern part of Israel, and the Lebanese, the forces in Lebanon and the Hezbollah and all that begin attacking out of Lebanon, and Israel begins taking a great deal of hits from missile fire, and also let's say that the Syrians add into the mix some chemical and or biological weapons, we could see the potential for Israel with its back against the wall, especially if the Egyptians come in, and we see the potential for Israel resorting to nuclear weapons. Now, this is not a strange off-the-wall thing on my part. The U.S. Center for Strategic and International Studies, which is headed by a former Pentagon analyst, actually looked at this possibility and estimated that in such a scenario, about 16 to 28 million Iranian civilians would die, and 200 to 800,000 Israelis. That's without factoring Syria into the mix. But as Syria came into the mix and was totally destroyed, that would add an additional 800,000 Israeli casualties, but about 18 million Syrian casualties if Israel responded with a nuclear strike. If Egypt came into the battle, then we would also see quite likely a strike against Egypt, and possibly, as we've discussed on this program previously, a potential attack on the Aswan Dam, on Cairo, nuclear strike on Cairo and the Aswan Dam, so that in Ezekiel 29, the land of Egypt becomes desolate and a waste there in Ezekiel 29, verses 9 through 12. You can read about that. But something to be concerned about, something certainly to pray about. And I think that the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 19 there, or as we look at that, or I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 17, is yet future. We've not seen it happen in the way that it's presented in Isaiah chapter 17. Damascus has never been totally destroyed and become a ruinous heap overnight. And along with that, we also see Israel being made thin. And I believe that this sort of thing could potentially set the stage for a call for a world ban on nuclear weapons, perhaps a disarmament of the Jewish state of Israel, and the potential rise out of the confusion of one man with a plan who could point to the potential rise to the Antichrist there with that. But we could talk more about that, but of course you're listening live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673, and I've got John in Euclid on the line, so we're going to take John's call here. John, are you with me?
Yeah, hello, Pastor Al. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Doing well.
Oh, good. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that His Word's true. Do you ever see, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you see all the time, you see things being fulfilled that are, you know, were written down a long time ago in the Bible, but, you know, not one word of the Lord's prophecies are failing. You know, all these things are coming to pass.
That's right.
And, you know, I just thought I would just share something. Hopefully it would be edifying to people, because it's something that really just, you know, kind of shook me to my heart. You know, I had been witnessing to a man, he was my mailman, and, you know, I gave him gospel tracts, and I was speaking to him about salvation in Christ, and you know, that telling him the truth of the gospel, that we were born condemned as sinners, and that, you know, he's a sinner, I was a sinner, you know, we're all sinners, and that we're all under God's condemnation. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And I really think he had deep conviction about it, because he would speak to me as he came by. He'd see me in my yard, and he'd speak to me and say, you know, John, you really got me worrying about my eternal soul. You know, I mean, he really realized it. He came under conviction, and he would tell me, he'd say, well, I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus. And I thought that was good, you know, that he said those things, but I mean, I was really concerned for him. Now, this man, he was a young man in good health, and, you know, just amazingly shocked me. I didn't see him for a while, and I assumed he had been transferred or something. I said, well, maybe I'll see him again. And, you know, I found out the other day that he had died suddenly of a massive heart attack. And he was someone, there's no outward sign that he was in poor health or anything. He was a mailman. He seemed to be in good physical condition. And, you know, it's just, he just left the world that suddenly. And I don't know that people realize just how quickly our time is up on this earth. And, you know, that's what the Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And, you know, now is the accepted time.
That's exactly right.
I just hope people will understand that. It's not just even, you know, of course, for an unsaved person, this is the time to bow the knee and receive Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins and eternal redemption through Christ Jesus, but also for those that are saved, that this is the opportunity now to witness to others and try to share the gospel with them, that they can be saved, because you may not have another opportunity, you know. And I felt really terrible about this, because, I mean, I did witness them quite a bit, but I didn't want to, you know, I didn't say, let me pray with you, I would urge him to be saved, but I didn't tell him, you know, I didn't say, now here, pray with me right now, let's.
Right,
you know,
and you do have to be.
I got to let him do this, you know,
and,
on his own.
Yeah, you do have to be kind of careful with forcing people to make a prayer, because that can be dangerous too. And in the time of the Lord.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. But at the same time,
you
that I didn't. You know, now I'm just, you know, I'm just wondering.
Well,
I just don't know.
Yeah, and I've got another caller calling in yet too, and just a few minutes left on the program. But one of the things you have to be, like I said, you have to be careful. You don't want to push somebody to just say words to shut you up or something, or just to humor you. And, but at the same time, that's where it's important to be led of the Holy Spirit. But certainly, you gave the gospel to him. And hopefully, prayerfully, maybe somebody along the line, some other person was able to maybe water that seed as well. But we don't know. That's why we should be busy about the Lord's work of spreading the gospel, sharing the gospel with people.
Well,
you're absolutely right with that, because you don't know.
I hope people realize that, how quickly that happens.
Right. And it's just like we're talking about, I was talking about earlier with the potential for the prophecy in Isaiah 17 being fulfilled. Let me give you something in Jeremiah that actually ties in with what you said and what I was saying with this prophecy about the sudden destruction of Damascus and Syria. In Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 23, it starts talking about it, and it says concerning Damascus in verse 23, and then it begins to discuss the judgment coming against it, and the idea of suddenly in verse 26, therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all of the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus and shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad. And, you know, that kind of a sudden destruction in a war, when you see trouble sometimes you expect, but you're talking about a guy that seemed to be young, in good health.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have expected it, but
you never know. Didn't expect it at all.
You never know.
I thought, well, I'll have probably years of this man mm-hmm. coming to my house and, you know, delivering mail, and I'll just keep witnessing to him, and hopefully he'll get saved. You know, there should be lots of time.
Well,
you know, I mean, I didn't hesitate, but I didn't want to. I wasn't trying to push him, but I just really thought. I thought, well, he'll probably outlive me, certainly.
Right.
You know.
Well,
I'm
going to have to get to our next call there, John. I appreciate that.
Okay. Well,
and,
praise the Lord. And remember, you know, Pastor L, too. Remember.
All right.
They say peace and safety, sudden destruction.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And also the Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die, but after this is a judgment. We don't know when
judgment.
That appointment
is. Today is the day of salvation.
Yes. That's right.
Oh,
exactly.
Amen. Okay, Pastor.
Appreciate
Al,
that.
You.
Appreciate that. And you're listening live with Pastor Al. And we're going to get Nancy on the line here in just a moment. And before we get to Nancy, I want to mention couple things real quick here. We were talking about Damascus and some of the prophecies against Damascus, against Syria, against Israel, against the what would be the Palestinian territories today, against Egypt. And if you're interested in this subject and want to know more about it, I'm actually going to be speaking on this at Crusade Baptist Church this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. That's September the 12th. And you can go online, crusadebaptist.org, and you will see the website, the map, and everything there. Crusade Baptist in Copley is located just east of Akron on Copley Road. That's State Route 162 at 2982 Copley Road in Copley. And if you can make it there, I'd love to see you. And Pastor Max McKenna, the pastor there, invited me to speak on this subject. We'll be talking about that this Wednesday at 7 o'clock at Crusade Baptist in Copley. And I also want to make mention that, Lord willing, next week we'll have Eric Howitt, who's a gospel soloist, on the program here on Friday as a guest speaker. And he is going to be with us on Sunday, September 16th, for our anniversary service, and also be doing a free gospel concert at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in Richfield on Sunday, September 16th at 2 p.m. We'll talk more about that later next week and on our Sunday night program. But we've got Nancy, and we're going to try and get Nancy on here for just a few minutes yet here before we go off the air here. And Nancy, thanks for waiting.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. In keeping with the topic of Israel and us supporting Israel and the DNC, I just wanted to know, did you happen to hear in the Democratic National Convention the Methodist minister asking delegates to collectively new change about, you know, are we going to put God back in our platform, and also that Israel is the capital of Jerusalem. And then when they voted, they wanted to know if they're in favor of doing this. When they voted, it was obvious that all the delegates were against it. It was much louder. And yet this Methodist minister said, this is passed. And I didn't know if there were any new developments on this.
Yeah, let me just jump in here real quick, because real quick, because we're about out of time. And that Methodist minister was our former governor, Strickland, here in Ohio.
And he
put that in mostly because the Obama election team wanted that in there. And kind of hard to stay away from politics. But he wanted that in there because they were taking a lot of heat. The conservatives and the Republicans were beating them up over the issue of taking God out of their platform and turning their back on Israel and Jerusalem as a capital. Also, some of the Israeli or the Jewish money was not coming in because of that. And some of the other groups were protesting some that would have funded them. So that was put in mostly for money reasons, and it was pushed through. It kind of reminded me of Tip O'Neill, former Speaker of the House, back in the early 80s when he would do voice votes on things, and you would hear everybody opposed or for it say aye, and you would hear aye. Everybody opposed say no. He'd go, no. He'd go, the ayes have it.
Oh,
and so that's nothing new, and Republicans have have been guilty of that a time or two themselves. But yeah, it was very clear that they ramroded that through. Many of the delegates were booing quite loudly. But we're out of time. I hope you'll join us again next week. And stay tuned. And tune in again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church this Sunday at 11 a.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at bbc.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220, The Word, or Salem Communications.
How has